Let's celebrate the Lord. Let's honor the Lord. I want to tell you, it hit me the other day because I get up early. You know, I'm not trying to tell you it's a privilege for me. And it's I want to tell you, the early hours for me, you would call it the fourth watch, or the Bible term would be fourth watch. During the fourth watch of the night, I get to go meet with Jesus. I had someone try to feel sorry for me the other day. They found out about it. I said, no. It's my favorite part of the day. It's the best part of the day for me. So don't feel sorry. And somebody said, well, why do you do that? Well, it's probably based on need more than anything else. I need him. And I want to be with him. And I enjoy those hours, just the Lord and I. And it's just very, very, very precious. But what I'm trying to tell you is that a lot of times on Sunday morning, and this morning I was up even earlier than my norm, and because I was excited, and I just enjoying the Lord. And I told the Lord, I'm ready to preach at 8 a.m. And it just kind of hit me. I'm looking forward to one of these days, an 8 a.m. service. That'll be fun. Man. I'll get off to a good start on that day. Yeah. I'll preach at 8 a.m., you know. And those people that would rather have an early lunch, you come at 8 o'clock. And you want to have a later lunch, and you come at 11. And, you know, we'll just have a blast. And I already see it. Yeah, we'll have a 2 o'clock service. Those that sleep in, we'll have a 2 o'clock service. And then we can have a 5 o'clock service and end up the day with a shout. Yeah, we might have to have staff rotate around, but I would love going for it. I did preach at a church where I got to preach 3 times on a Sunday morning. It's a pretty large church. I got to preach 3 times on a Sunday morning, and I loved it. And don't talk about it being a burden. I was wound up, man. And by the 3rd time, I had it down pretty good. Yeah, I love y'all so much. Hey, this series is called Reverse the Curse. And I want to share with you today, this may stretch you a little bit, but it's been on my heart for a couple of years. And I've spent a lot of time meditating on it. It don't mean I understand all about it. I'm just telling you there's a promise in Scripture about this that probably a lot of people don't recognize. But I hope to share it with you today. And you know, I understand when it comes to the benefits of the Lord, that he's provided on the cross, is that, you know what, you may not recognize all of them. You may not agree with all of them. I got compassion for you because it took me decades to get to where I'm at. And, you know, and I realize, and I've told you, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it took me decades. And so I've got compassion for you. If you hear about the healing being in the atonement, or provision being in the atonement, or restoration, blessing, shalom, peace, being in the atonement. And you say, well, I just don't know about that. Well, it don't offend me. I got compassion for him. It took me a while, and I got compassion for you. It may take you a while. But I want to tell you, and every time that we cover something along this line, you know what? The Lord may move your heart just a step or two more in that direction. And I say this quite a bit, but we don't celebrate, we're not looking for perfection because we don't believe the Lord is. There was only one perfect. That was Jesus. But I'll tell you what's important to the Lord is direction of your heart. And so even if you're not there on everything, if you just meditate on it, you hear it, you meditate on it, you consider it, you seek the Lord about it, he may move you a step or two along that path. And I want to tell you, that's progress. And it don't offend me because, like I said, it took me a while for the Lord to work on me, and I was seeking. And so the main thing is the direction of your heart that you're seeking. So I'm going to address something today that may be a little out there for you. Don't make it a test of fellowship. I just want you to consider it before the Lord. Just ask the Lord about it. Anything that I preach on and the Lord don't give you an amen on it, well, just relax. I'm not asking you to flush it. If you need to, do that. But I'm just asking you to kind of put it up on a shelf. Charles Spurgeon actually taught me that. I wasn't alive when Charles Spurgeon was preaching. That was a while ago. But this is what he said. He said, when I listen to sermons, he said, it's like me eating fish. He said, I take the part that's meat for me right now, and he said, I digest it and I enjoy it. And those parts of the fish that I can't enjoy at the moment, he said, I set them aside. He said, because there may come a time in the near future where even the bones might be good for me. But do you understand what he was saying? Well, if you do, then just be at peace, listen. Holy Spirit witnesses to you. Well, embrace it, because that's what we're supposed to do. If you're listening to a sermon, you're reading the Bible, and Holy Spirit drops something in your heart, and he's able to do that. That's what Rhema word is, where he takes the logos and he speaks life to you. Then I want to tell you, take it and embrace it. And the Holy Spirit's job is to teach you how to apply it. Is that good news? So you're in a good place. And so this is something for you to seek the Lord about. I'm going to read Isaiah 40, 31, and then I'm going to tell you a testimony of a little lady in North Carolina, okay? Isaiah 40, 31, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for, who hope in Him. And so I like to share this and say, you know, waiting on the Lord doesn't mean you're a bump on a stump. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that you just quit for a while. Waiting for the Lord does not mean that you don't seek Him. Okay? We're talking about, resting in the Lord. But resting in the Lord, and you've probably heard me preach on this because it's big for us, but resting in the Lord does not mean no activity. It means Spirit-directed activity. Where we're asking, seeking, knocking, ask, and we're seeking the Lord, and we're pursuing the Lord, and we're depending on the Lord. And do you see this? This is what it means, who we're expecting, we're looking for, we're hoping in Him. And so I've had people tell me, well, Brother Tim, when the Lord gets ready to heal me, He knows my address. Well, that's not what it means to wait. That's not what it means to rest. I want to tell you, it means that you're seeking the Lord. You're pursuing the Lord. Some people use the term pressing into the Lord. I kind of like that, but it sounds like you got a little bit too much self-effort on it. But what we're talking about is that we focus and rely on and trust in Him, and we seek and knock. And you know what? It's His responsibility. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you. And He loves to give us wisdom concerning anything and everything. And He loves to give us a liberal portion. So this is what it means to wait on the Lord. It means to seek the Lord. Spirit-directed activity. All right? Put your hope in Him. That's ministry on the inside. Hope comes before faith. What comes before hope is love. Let the Lord love on you. Hope arises in your heart. He draws a picture of what He wants to do in your heart. And after that's in your heart, faith comes to apply that. It's beautiful. He does it for us. I love that. We don't make it happen. He does. Okay? But look what happens when we do that, when we practice waiting on the Lord, putting our hope in Him, expectation on the Lord. We change. We change. It's supernatural, inside out. You've heard me preach on that. And guess what happens to you? We renew. We get our strength and power renewed. That renewing is transformation strength. It's strength that doesn't come from you, it comes from Him. Is that great? And look what happens. This is the effect of it. They'll lift up their wings. Okay? And I've told you, the Beautiful Blonde and I, at our favorite restaurant toward East Texas, is that we got to see some eagles fishing out the big glass window. We saw some eagles fishing at the little lake. And you know what? When they took off, they weren't like the ducks, just real frantic, just frantic, hurried, beating the wings, beating the water, trying to get up off the ground. When they began to fly, all they did was stretch out their wings, and they just kind of soared up, just lifted it. Well, that's a beautiful picture for us, because that's what the Holy Spirit will do when we just stretch out our wings. And He called, hey, Pneuma, He's the wind. He'll cause you up underneath. He'll lift you up. Is that great news? And cause us to mount up close to God. When it talking about mounting up close to the sun, we're talking about the S-O-N. He'll cause you to rise before the Lord. That's his job, is to point out Jesus to you and present Jesus to you and glorify Jesus. And look what happens as a result of that. They'll run and not be weary. Now, just a few verses up, there's a description that even the young men, the strongest of the strong that you know, even the young men will grow weary and tired. And so this is something that's greater than young men's strength. Amen? Okay, I want you to see this. And just a few verses before, it says this is something the Lord loves to do. He loves to give strength to the weary. He loves to give power to the faint. And so I want to tell you, that's your God. And he's the God of restoration. He's the God of restoration. And look what it says. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. I want to tell you, one of the things I hear out there, not necessarily so much from you, but out there, I hear saints and I hear pastors tell me, I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm wore out. Brother, my tank is just empty. I got compassion for that because I've gotten there, I get there sometimes. But I want to tell you, there's an answer to that. And it's not necessarily a protein bar, okay, or caffeine. There's an answer to that, and it's J-E-S-U-S, where that you wait on him and receive of him, and you receive supernatural strength. New Testament tells us God's not offended by your weakness. He wants you to depend on him, and in your weakness, depend on him, and he'll show forth his supernatural strength in and through your life. That's what he loves to do, and that brings him honor and glory. And so I'm speaking to you hope. Those of you, you're tired, you're weary, you're wore out. Maybe you're in a place of displacement because you don't know what to do on this major decision. Lean on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Depend on the Lord. He loves to give you wisdom. He loves to give you strength to those who are weary. And look what happens with his strength. You'll walk and not faint or become tired. Now, Hebrews 12 points out to us, and this is 1 through 3. You don't have to turn there. I don't have it in your notes. It just crosses my mind when I look about this because Hebrews 12 talks about, you know, one of the ways to not grow weary, to not grow tired. Well, how do we... Once we get there, you lean on him. Hey, what about preventative? How do you not get there? Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 talks about, number one, you get rid of the hindrances. If you get rid of the hindrances, the distractions, the hindrances, then you know what? You'll have endurance. If you get rid of the hindrances in your life, maybe a sin. Okay? It may be something that you've embraced and may not be called sin, but it keeps you away from God. Not everything called good is godly if it draws you away from the Lord. And so Hebrews 12, 1 says, you know what? You get rid of those. You lay those aside and you focus on him. And you know what? If you do that, you're going to have endurance and you won't quit. Man, we just got through watching the Olympics, you know, and boy, did we love it. Man, we was cheering for everything. If the USA was playing marbles, I'd be cheering. Okay. But I'm telling you something, man. The guys that were participating in athletic events, they didn't wear weights. Nobody was out there in a suit, not in a three-piece. Well, that speaks to me. But I'm just trying to tell you, they wore clothes that didn't hinder them. Sometimes not very much clothes, but I understand what's happening. They wore clothes that didn't hinder them. Now, I want to tell you, that's what he's pointing out to here. If you've got stuff in your life that's hindering your walk with God, there's a word from God. Hey, you're looking for a sign? Why don't you get a verse here? The verse says this, get rid of it. Why? Because you love Jesus. You want to bring him honor and glory. Number two, the second verse says, focus on Jesus. Don't be distracted. Focus on Jesus. If there's something distracting you from Jesus, you need to focus on the Lord. And when you focus on the Lord, you receive. Verse 3 talks about meditate on him on the cross, the suffering he went through. You meditate on the cross. This is why we preach the cross so much. But you put your focus and you practice remembering. See, when we remember, we receive. Are you listening to me? Hey, listen, this is one of the things that we do with people that are addicts. We get them to focus on the Lord on the cross because it's by his obedience that, we have a mighty weapon that's supernatural. That's not carnal, but supernatural for the taking down of strongholds. Where are those at? In the mind. And so, man, when we meditate on His obedience on the cross, then I want to tell you, we receive His power and His strength. There's transformation that takes place. And so that's where our focus is supposed to be. And you know what? When we do that, when we focus on His suffering, His cross, we won't, according to Hebrews 12, verse 3, we won't grow weary, we won't lose heart, we won't stop, we won't faint in the mind. Anybody interested in that? Well, hallelujah. Okay, but listen. What I see in Isaiah 40:31 is that He will restore us to youth. Restore us to youth. Now, Brother Tim, we're talking practical. No, I'm speaking real. I believe that the spiritual reality is a greater reality than human fact. That's where we live. We don't limit what God wants to do in our life by human statistics or human fact. We don't walk by this world. We walk by the kingdom of God. You know what? We're not normal humans. Jesus lives in us. And the promises of God's word are for us. Now, if you don't know Jesus, they ain't going to work for you. But they work for believers that believe. All right, I'm going to share with you a testimony because I really believe that this is powerful, that He wants to restore us to youth. Okay, I told you this might stretch you a little bit. Are you okay? Well, go ahead and put your seatbelt on and stay with me a little bit, okay? And don't get offended. This is from a little lady in North Carolina. I have a son that lives in North Carolina, and I'm going to be up there. I would love to visit with this lady. I've never visited with her. I don't personally know her, but this is her testimony. Her name is Mary Shy, and she lives in North Carolina. She's 102 years old. She says, "I never dreamed that I would still be on this side of eternity at this age." Boy, this woman's cute. I'm telling you, I'd love to have her here because she is something else. She said, "I'm here," and she speaks with that authority of a veteran, you know. She says, "I'm here because that is what the Lord wants. I don't argue with Him." I just love this. I got such a kick out of her. "I'm here for His purpose, and when He's finished with me, I'll get to go home because He knows I'm ready." That's just great. Listen, they say that she is sharp as a tack. She worked till she was 88 years old at an accounting firm. And so her mind is clear, it's sharp. She lived alone. Her husband died, and then she lived alone for 40 years. 40 years. It was only a couple months ago that she moved in with her grandson and his wife, David and Kelly. And this is what they say about her. This is their report because she's lived with them for a couple months. They say this: she is spunky. I love that. This is what they say: she has an incredible sense of humor. Anybody hear that? Is the joy of the Lord a strength to you? How powerful is laughing? They said she laughs a lot. Let me tell you what else they described about her. They said the best way to describe her is she is very, very kind. I want to tell you what that says to me. She's walking in loving kindness, the Lord's loving kindness. Because when you walk in the Lord's loving kindness, guess what? That's a fruit of the Spirit. What you're receiving of Him on the inside, you express on the outside. Kindness, where's kindness at? Because kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Okay, you want some more? They said she never complains. She has an attitude of gratitude. Hey, listen, saints, that goes a long ways. I like to say it like this. Your attitude will determine your altitude. Boy, there's a message in that. So, they said she's very active. She's very active. 102, she's very active. She's not sitting on the couch staying there. Number one, she goes to church every week, and she's determined to get there. I love that. Let me tell you something. If you're determined, to go honor the Lord at church, guess what? You'll show up even when you don't feel good. Even when it's not convenient. Even when you partied too much the night before. Don't do that. You understand what I'm saying. Listen at this. Nancy, you can shout amen. She gets her hair done every week. She gets a pedicure every other week. She does her own household chores. And we know teenagers don't do that. She's 102 years old, and she still does her own household chores. Now, she's living with her grandson and his wife, but you know what? She does the laundry. She does the dishes. And she prepares meals at 102. Anybody like the sound of this? She loves to fix her favorite lunch. Nobody else wants it. It's bacon and jam sandwich. Cheese bacon every day. A lot of people wouldn't recommend that. She has bacon and jam sandwich every day. I just get a kick out of that. And listen to this. And she said, my dessert is I deserve a payday every day. You know, the candy bar. A lot of people wouldn't recommend that. She eats a payday every day. It's her dessert. Okay? And she also has a glass of red wine every day. She says, it's kind of small. I'd like to see the size of it, would you? It's kind of small. Glass of red wine every day. Okay, a lot of people wouldn't recommend that either. When she's asked, and she was asked in this interview about the reason for her blessed quantity and quality of life. Because listen, that's what the Bible promises. Because you and I both know people of elderly age that are mean. They just feel like they got the right to be mean and grumpy and complain. And they get a chance, we'll get on to you in a Dallas minute. Well, she's not like that. This is the reason when they asked her about the, because this is the promise of God, is not just quantity, but quality. Come on, somebody. Quality of life. She answered it like this, like everybody should already know this. She said, Jesus! It's Jesus. Well, it sure is. She says this. She says, I'm in the Bible 1+ hour every day. And she'll tell you real quick, you ought to be too. And she added, I've been doing this most of my life. Every day I'm in the Bible for over an hour. Now listen, I minister to some pastors that I can't get in the Bible. That sounds dangerous. I know saints that are not in the Bible. I want to tell you something. If you're not in this word, you're missing out. You're settling for a lesser quality and quantity of kingdom life in your life if you're not in this word. Now, the enemy will give you all kind of excuses why you don't have to. But I'm telling you, boy, I'm telling you, if I could get her here, I'm just announcing to you, Mary Shai would tell you, you best be in the Word every day. All right? Now listen at this. She said, every time I read it, I get something new out of it. Now you know what that tells me? She gets revelation. She's still letting the Holy Spirit show her Jesus in her heart through the Word. Now that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not reading by mileage, it's getting a message, see? She says, it don't matter how many times you read it. As a matter of fact, she used the term thousands of times. You can read it thousands of times and still get something new out of it. I love that. When she's asked about heaven, what's her thoughts about heaven? And again, it's kind of in a tone that, well, you ought to know this. But it come out like this. She said, heaven's so wonderful, who in their right mind would not be excited about going? I love that. Don't you love that? Well, you know, she has lived long enough that she, with, you know, her kids, she's outlived her husband, outlived some of her kids, right? And so she was present when her daughter went to heaven. And she had an amazing experience. She said, as she was dying, she said, I'm right there. And as she was dying, she saw Jesus. And she raised up her hands to hug Jesus. I want to tell you, that had impact on her. And she said, because one of these days, he's going to come and take my hand, and he's going to take me home. She said, he's going to do that for me. I saw him do it for my daughter. He's going to do that for me. And then she says this, and you know what? He's going to do it for you too, if you know him and trust him. According to the Census Bureau here in the United States, listen at this. There are 100,000 plus centenarians is what they call them. I didn't even know the term. That's people that's over 100 years of age. 100,000. They also, that same Census Bureau, estimates that in the next 30 years, it's going to quadruple. Is that interesting? See, I'm trying to help you here have a mindset of blessing from the Lord that will restore your youth and push back the curse, reverse the curse, to live for God's best, quantity and quality. There's a surgeon, and he's an expert on long life. He's an aging expert. And as a matter of fact, if anybody's, his name is Stephen Gundry, Dr. Stephen Gundry. I've heard him some, I've read some of his articles, but he's got a book out that I don't have, but I bet you would enjoy, How to Die Young at a Ripe Old Age. Because he's dedicated his life studying centenarians. And this is a couple of things that he says. He says, many centenarians are amazingly healthy. He studied them, and he describes their physiology, the workings inside of them, look like a 50-year-old person, and they're over 100. And he said they don't become infirmed. Now, that means they don't become feeble and fragile, frail. They have a strength about them. Is that good? Listen at this. He said, they're not infirmed, they don't get cancer, and they don't get Alzheimer's. You see, if you listen to the media, you would know that. This is a guy that studies them, spent a lot of his lifetime on this. This is what he says, because he did experiments on those that were 105. He chose that number. And so he did studies on 105-year-olds. And this is what he said. He said they have a wide variety of good bacteria living in their intestines. Now, you've heard me refer to that because we're big on that. Probiotics. That your immune system and your health comes out of your gut. There's a lot of Americans don't believe that because they enjoy the SAD diet, the standard American diet. It'll kill you from the inside out. There's a GLAD diet. And it comes from going back to the Bible, but it goes like this, that you know what? He's designed the army inside of your tummy is important to fighting off the enemies that come against your body. And so I'm just announcing to you, see, our focus has been on germs, when really our focus needs to be on the host. Because if the host is healthy, it wins against the germs that come. Is that too much for you? Maybe. Let me get back to this. He says they have the gut microbiome, if I'm saying that right, of a 30-year-old. Is that amazing? Boy, I wish y'all had been here to hear this part. Thank y'all for coming. He said they have the gut microbiome of a 30-year-old. They exercise. The highest concentration of 105-year-olds live in mountains or in hills around the world, he said. And so what that means is that they walk uphill all the time. If you've ever vacationed to the mountains, you walk out the door and say, oh my goodness. So we're flatlanders, right? And so they climb everywhere. And he said, and Mary Shai, she grew up in the Smoky Mountains almost all of her life. So she walked hills every time she walked out the door. And she has a very positive attitude. This is what Dr. Gundry said. He said they exercise. They have great bacteria inside their tummies, right, that create the immune system. and they exercise, and he said they have a very positive attitude. This is what Mary, when she was asked, and I love this part, she was asked, what would you tell the young people of our day? And she said, the greatest advantage for your long quality and quantity of health, the greatest advantage you got is the Word of God. And listen, the Bible says that, okay? His Word is life to all of our flesh. Do we believe that? Well, she spends over an hour in the Word every day. And she says, get in the Word of God because He speaks to you now. And she was sharing how that she's reading through Ezekiel. And she was so excited. Now, some people read through Ezekiel and say, give me something else. She's reading through Ezekiel and she's so excited. She said, it's like reading tomorrow's newspaper. I love that. Let's give the Lord a thank you for Mary Shy, okay? Now, in case you think I'm stretching this a little bit, Psalm 103, verse 5, and we're going to be on Psalm 103 probably next week. But this is, look what the Lord, this is part of the benefit package that He gives us. Who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation with good. Now, I love that because what that means is that no matter what your age is, no matter what your situation is, His heart for you is goodness. He will chase you down with His loving kindness and His goodness, His unfailing love. That's a promise in Psalm 23. But He loves to do that, and this is His heart for you. And because you know what? At different ages, we are at different stages. You understand that, right? As a matter of fact, my granddaughters, when they were here for the last visit and we were having so much fun, they know that, you know, if they go to their mama or they go to Lovey here and they ask for something, you say, well, I don't know, you just wait till lunch. They know they come find Papa T and say, Papa T, can we have a snack? I say, sure. Let's go find one. Let's go shopping. Well, what little Pebs wanted and Lila too the last time around, they found that can of whipping cream in there. They said, can we have this? I said, sure. Now, let me tell you something. You see, what satisfied and what fulfilled the taste in their mouth, what they were hungry for, was whipping cream on a plate. So I just, on a plate, and they got after it. Had fun with it, enjoyed it. But see, that's not really what I desire. I'd say, give me a little steak and tater. Okay, you understand? I want to tell you what He does. Listen to me. This verse says He personalizes His goodness in your life because He loves you, because He delights in you. With good. Why? Listen to His heartbeat. Because you said, well, Pastor Tim, you're looking at Isaiah 40, 31, talking about the wings of the eagles, and you know that you saw that as restoration to youth. Well, it doesn't exactly say that. Well, I think it does. But let's go ahead and look at the Word of God, because the Word of God describes the Word of God. That's why I tried to tell the home groups in this summer that, you know what? Let the Bible define the Bible. There's a lot of wisdom in that. But look at what it says here. He blesses you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, that sounds like an example. So see, we can point to Isaiah 40, 31, and you can see that He wants to restore your youth, restore your health. He wants to do that like the eagles, strong, overcoming, and soaring. Does that describe your life? Well, it can with Jesus. He didn't design you to be weak and feeble. He designed you to be strong. His strength in you will cause you to mount up. I love that, don't you? Let's look at some more Bible. You ready for more Bible? Now, this is Bible. Now, if you choose not to believe this, you won't receive it. If you choose to doubt, you'll do without. So that's your call. You have a chooser. But I'm telling you, if you give your allegiance to Jesus, even if you don't understand it, even if you're not there, it's the Holy Spirit's job to coach you that direction. He's your life coach. Look at Deuteronomy 33, 24 through 25. Now, this is speaking to Asher, but I want you to understand that these blessings that he was speaking to the sons was speaking not only to them, but to their tribe. Now, that's good news, because this is for your family. This is for your tribe. Guess what? New Testament tells us that Jesus Christ paid for all the promises of God to be true. And so I'm telling you, is this just for Asher and his tribe? No, it's not, because Jesus Christ paid the price for all the promises, all the blessings of God. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Anybody interested in those? Well, this is part of it. So it's okay. I nearly got knocked down with an amen right there, but it's all right. Look what he says. Of Asher, he said, blessed. Now, I want to tell you what's beautiful about being blessed. When you're blessed, and the Bible says that through Christ, you're blessed. You're blessed because of Christ, not because of you, your big brains, or just how cute you are. He can't resist it. No, it's not that. You're blessed because of Christ, not because of you. But you know what it means to be blessed? It means to be adored. Now, I want to tell you something. I could talk about this a long time, and I don't have time, but I adore that woman right there. And because I adore that woman right there, she gets attention that nobody else gets. I want to tell you, she gets to hear my heart. I want to tell you what happens. She gets my money. Okay? I may share a little bit of it with some other people, and I do. She gets it, man. Okay? And I want to tell you, I adore her. She gets to hear from me. I know there are people that say that I'm against celebration, but I want to tell you something. Let me tell you what you don't know. Okay? I celebrate the Lord every day. Every day, man, I get to meet with the Lord, and you don't know. Man, I celebrate Him. I celebrate Him and I adore Him. And I want to tell you something that's just so precious to me. You can't out-celebrate Him. You can't out-adore Him. And when you do adore Him, when you observe Him, when you see Him in His beauty, He loves you back. He blesses you back. Hey, bless the Lord. You remember I covered this morning? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hey, David was telling his soul, you bless the Lord. Soul didn't feel like it, probably. Soul said, it's kind of a bad day. I'm a little sad. Well, he told his soul, we're going to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Adore the Lord with all that's within me. Wholeheartedly, I'm going to bless the Lord. It's amazing what we would head off in our life if we would just bless the Lord. Because I want to tell you something. You cannot be grateful and thankful and esteem and honor the Lord and be sad and mad at the same time. It's amazing how many situations of the day, how we would have overcome the attack or the situation of the day if we would simply be seriously, wholeheartedly blessing and honoring the Lord. Because I want to tell you what happens. An exchange takes place. You bless at Him, He bless at you in obvious ways because you can't outlove Him. Look at this. A blessed means to celebrate. And you know what? There's the term abundantly in it when you look it up. The term abundantly. Abundantly means more than enough. Anybody interested in being blessed? Well, here we go. Blessed above the sons is Asher. I want to just tell you this. This is divine favor. Jesus paid for the greatest blessings to you. And I'm going to announce something to you. He doesn't have favorites. But I want to tell you something. He has people that receive His favor. And when you receive His favor, you look like a favorite because you're embracing it. This is the way it is with Asher. Listen to this. Let him be acceptable to his brothers. Now, not only is that being adored by the Lord, but it's having divine favor with humans. You can't make that happen. Don't go around kissing, trying to make it happen, you know, shining the apple, you know, for people. I want to tell you, you don't have to do that. I want to tell you, God will put His divine favor on your life, and people will choose you over other people and not know why. It's divine favor. And we see that all the time. Yes, acceptable to His brothers. Divine acceptance. When He accepts you, guess what? People that love Him will accept you because you're accepted amongst the beloved. That's what the Bible says. Let Him dip His foot in oil. Now, I want to tell you something, man. You know what oil represents? Holy Spirit. Come on, folks. I love this. Get with me on this. Get on the train. Let's go. Anointed. That your feet are anointed. What does it mean your feet are anointed? I want to tell you something. He said this to Joshua. Everywhere you step, you'll possess. I give it to you. And so I want to tell you, when you're walking with the Lord, actively blessing the Lord, walking with the Lord, you're stepping. And every step you take, I want to tell you what God says. I grant you overcoming wherever you go and whatever you put your hand to. He's saying this about the feet. Now listen, the feet are important because the New Testament says this, that your feet will be shod with the gospel of peace. Now I want to tell you something. When you put on those peaceful tennis shoes, man, those tennis shoes of peace, that's Ephesians 6:15. It's the gospel of peace. Then I want to tell you something. You know what? His peace goes before you. His peace goes with you. Wherever you put your feet, I want to tell you something, you'll possess. It's be given to you. Listen at verse 25. This is still the blessing. Are you enjoying this? Your castles and strongholds will have bars of iron and bronze. Now, I want to tell you something. This is supernatural divine protection. You don't have to fear the enemy outside, the enemy at night, the enemy that sneaks up, the things you don't understand, the things, the unknown. You don't have to fear that. And Psalm 91 backs this up. But I want to tell you what's beautiful about this. He says he'll be your divine protection. Strongholds and castles. Think stronghold. Think fortress. God's your fortress. 91 says that he's your refuge and strength. Are you trusting and depending on him? So you get blessing. You get anointing. All right? Wherever you go, he'll give you possess to conquer and to bless. And at the same time, he's going to give you divine protection. You'll have bars of iron and bronze. And as your day, so shall your strength be. Now, I want to tell you, that's beautiful. Because you know what this says? Because in most versions, it says days, plural. And you know what that means? Your whole life. Your whole life. The older you got, the older you get, the stronger you'll be. That's what that's saying. That's a promise. That don't limit it to Asher. Jesus paid for us to have it too. One version says, his strength will last as long as his days for you. Another version says, your strength will equal your days. You'll be safe behind iron-clad doors. That's divine protection. Listen at this one. Your strength like iron as long as you live. That's a beautiful picture. Do you see the pictures in that? How about Joshua 14:11? You know I love Caleb. I like me some Caleb now. Man, he had an amazing spirit about him. That's what God says. And look what the testimony of Caleb is this. Now, I got to tell you, this is the Word of God, and he's telling the truth. He's giving a testimony about God. Is he lying? That's the first question I want. Is he lying? Is he telling the truth? Thank you for agreeing with the truth. Because the truth for him, same God, can be the truth for you. Look what he says. Caleb says this, I'm as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. That was 40 years ago. He was 40-something then. He's 80-something now. He said, I'm as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, get it, so is my strength now. To what? To just walk to the store and back? Strength to change the channel? Strength to play a game on the computer? No. Let me tell you what his strength was for. He was ready for battle. He was ready for war. And let me tell you what his mountain was full of. And that is full of giants. It was full of well-walled, strong-walled cities that they would say impenetrable. And he said this, I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago. I have the strength to go to war. 80-something years old. I'm going to war. Give me my mountain. I'm going to conquer this mountain. And he did. There's testimony in Scripture that he did claim it and possess it for God, which means that he killed giants. I love that because I want to tell you something. I'm looking at giant killers. What's the giant that's intimidating you? What's the giant that's standing in your life? That's saying to you, you'll never get over this. You'll always be this. Man, giants are liars. I want to tell you, this is exciting. What about Abraham? Man, there's a lot of examples in Scripture, and I need to cover this pretty quick. Abraham, after Sarah died, he lived for 35 more years. And a lot of people would say, well, that's old enough for another career. Well, let me tell you what it was old enough for. It was old enough for another family. 35 years. You may not know this. A lot of people don't. But there are people that teach. I've heard this, and it's kind of sad to me, but people teach that, you know what? When Abraham and Sarah connected as husband and wife in order for the baby to be Isaac to be born, then it was just a supernatural miracle for that night. And after that night, that was it. No, that's not the way the Lord works. Because He promises quantity and quality of life. His blessing is not just for a moment. He paid for us to possess the blessing. And Abraham did. I want you to read with me Genesis 25, 7 and 8. The days of Abraham's life were 175 years. And then Abraham's spirit was released. Now, I'm pointing this out to you because I don't believe it's God's will for somebody to be tortured to death in pain and agony and have a slow, painful death. I don't believe that's God's best. Does it happen? Yes, it does. I don't like it. I saw my own mom. It took her over a month, about 6 weeks, to die. And she deteriorated right before our eyes. You know what? I saw it. I recognized it. I experienced it. It was hard on the whole family. It was hard on her. It was heartbreaking. But I want to tell you, I'm just announcing to you, that's not God's best. The first place I saw it was with Jesus on the cross. Jesus is on the cross. I want to tell you, they didn't kill Him. Listen to me. They didn't kill Him. He released His spirit. That's what He said with His own words. Father, I release My spirit. Now, that's a difference. He chose the moment. Man didn't. Is that too much? I'm just sharing that with you because there's testimony through Scripture of this term. Release their spirit. That sounds like they had something to do with it. We know the Lord has something to do with it. But it sounds like they had something to do with it. I'm just kicking that out to you. Abraham's spirit was released, and look at the timing. He died a good, ample, full old age. In other words, what that means is that he was a blessed man. He died a very blessed man, and he knew it and was enjoying it. Okay? Hey, he didn't die moaning and groaning. He died a blessed man. Old age, an old man for sure. But look at this. This is what Bible says. Is Bible true? Bible says he was very satisfied and satiated. Satiated. With the goodness of God. Satisfied with the goodness of God. I've got to ask you a question. A lot of people say, well, I'll die a godly death. Well, I want to tell you, if you're not fulfilled with Jesus, if you're not satisfied with Jesus right now, what makes you think that you're going to be when you die? If you're not fulfilled, is Jesus enough for you? If you're not fulfilled and satisfied with Jesus now, what makes you think you're going to be when you die? I've had people tell me, well, if it came down to it, I'd die for Jesus. They'd torture me and I'd die for Jesus. Well, don't go there with me. If you're not willing to live for Him, you're not willing to die for Him. And so the real question was, Abraham was satisfied and fulfilled and blessed in his older years as he was his younger years. And I want to tell you, he died that way. And he released his spirit. Oh, see, that made me want to shout. First covenant that he had with God was 75 years old. Birth of Isaac, he was 100 years old. He died at 175. And let me tell you what the Bible says. After Sarah died, he married again. Hey, it wasn't just a one-night miracle. You want me to prove it to you? Bible says he had 6 more sons. I'd say his body that was dead before he united with Sarah was healed. And it wasn't just healed for one night. Like some people teach, it was healed for his lifetime in order for him to have 6 more sons. Can somebody give an amen for that? Yeah. Now, I tell you, in all this, I'm not believing for more sons and daughters. I'm believing for grandkids. So let's just be clear. And my wife says a big amen on that. Okay. All right. All right. Let me share one more thing, and I'm going to wrap this. I thought I'd get a lot further. She thought I'd get further in this, too. I've been having too much fun. When Adam sinned against God, a divine sentence came on the whole human race. I've shared that a lot. I hope you agree with that. But one of the divine sins or divine sentences is sickness. There was no sickness in the garden before sin. Sin ushered it in. I hope you see that. And in a sense, in a real sense, in an eternal sense, this body's not saved yet. One day Jesus comes, we'll have a brand new body. You'll get it immediately. Boy, that's exciting. Forever young, never sick, healthy forever. That new body's coming. And it won't be subject to the divine sentence. As a matter of fact, I'm going to follow that up and say the divine sentence will be gone. There is a process of aging. Human fact, we see that. We recognize it. You may be feeling it. But I want to tell you, be advised about this. I've shared with you out of the Bible. I shared with you beautiful Mary in North Carolina, 102, her testimony. And there's 1,000 centenarians that may give witness to this. But there are some people who seem to push it back. That's what we're calling reverse the curse. The way to reverse the curse is to receive the blessing. Receiving the blessing, the promise, reverses the curse. They seem to offset the process. We have a term in our culture even to describe it, and it goes like this. Well, they just age very gracefully. Yeah, they do. And I hope and believe and think that they connect with the promise of God on it. Whether they do or not, I'm announcing to you, you can. It's amazing how many mighty people of God were strong in their later years. And when they do die, it's not from sickness and disease. That's what Dr. Gundy said about the centenarians. They're not sick. They're not weak. They have the gut of a 30-year-old. Those precious little army inside of them that fights the bad stuff. It's healthy inside. And he said they don't get Alzheimer's. They don't get cancer. And so I'm telling you, would you listen to Jesus this morning? Would you look at the Word and just let the Word sink down in your heart? Because hope can rise up that this is not just for them or a few, but it's for you. It's something about releasing their spirit and going home. I want to tell you, Paul had this mindset. And this is where I'm going to start next week, because I want to share with you the mindset that Paul had about this. Because I want to tell you something. It seemed like the way he described his life, there was a choice. I'm kind of caught between you guys. It's best for me to go. And I'm looking forward to going, and I want to go. But for your sake, it's best for you that I stick around a while and be a blessing to you. And so, I choose you over me. For your sake, I'm going to hang around a little bit and give you my best. Now you say, well, that's a little stretch. I'm going to show you the scripture next week. I don't have time today. Now, I love you. I've had a lot of fun this morning. I didn't cover all I wanted to, and I'm going to pick up right here next week, okay? Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for considering this. Would you consider the Lord in it? Not what Pastor Tim's saying, but would you go to the Bible and consider? Just let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. And like I said, if He speaks to your heart, there's a witness in your spirit, grab a hold of it. Because that's where hope and faith comes in. Let the Lord love on you about it. If you're not getting anything on that, hold on. We'll get on something else real soon. Okay? I love you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for these precious people. Lord, may your words be like divine seed in the soil of our heart. Lord Jesus, thank you that your divine seed is supernatural seed. And Lord, we welcome your words in our heart that it might produce the fruit of the kingdom multiplied in our life. And we give you praise that this is your will and your desire in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen and amen.